Blog Talk Radio.
On Wheels Now.
On Wheels Now, your inside look at local motorsports. This is the Racers Roundtable, where racers, race fans, and race officials can just get together and talk about local racing. That's what we like to do here. June 20th, 2023. And hosting along with myself, we have the man on a mission, Mr. Gary Wyatt.
What's happening?
You tell me. What's our next thing? What do we got going on?
We got a couple things we need to finish.
Pull some irons out, put some other things in the fire, or what are we going to do? Just keep putting them in.
We're going to just keep putting them in, but we got a few things we're going to finish.
A lot of things happening, of course, coming up. Also hosting tonight, as usual, Justin Griffiths. Thank you.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. You got your voice back. Glad to hear
kinda.
That. Kind of.
We're glad to hear it.
Nobody else, the rest of the world, ain't.
Yeah. Of course, that's the voice of our guest host again, Mr. Dylan Rinke. Thank you for being here, man. Appreciate
Thanks for having me again.
No, hey, anytime we can have a smiling face in here, we love it. So appreciate you coming out and being here, and especially sporting the late model truck series hat as you are. So thank you very much.
He had to look to make sure which one he
yeah.
had on.
Yeah, okay.
Because I didn't get the blithe one on, but I was like, that one matches my 7-time shirt a little better.
That sounds good. Now, we do appreciate that. And speaking of Blythe, after the show tonight, and we'll announce it some more throughout the show, we're going to have our Blythe Speedway show, BS at the Track, after the On Wheels Now show at about 7:10-ish at blythespeedway.net, or go to the Blythe Speedway Facebook page to watch it live.
Yes.
About 7:10.
We've got to run down the hallway,
unlock
yeah.
the door, yeah. straighten stuff out.
That's right.
Hop in the studio. Hang tight with us on that part of it. But thank you for joining us here on Wheels Now. Do appreciate it. Some funky races going on this past weekend at LVMS. Very busy night. I got to see some of it. Dylan wasn't allowed
was
there.
You weren't
allowed
there.
Dylan, J.D. Sage was there. Oh, yeah. Where's that Blythe Speedway hat?
That gets me in trouble. This one's universal.
There you go. We're the universal one.
Hey, if anybody says anything about that Blythe Speedway hat, you just tell them, you want one, I'll get you one. Plain and simple.
Exactly. Uh-huh. There you go.
You just tell them, oh, you want one, I'll get you one. You like mine so well, I'll get you one.
There's plenty to go around.
That's right.
No, we appreciate that. You know, like at any track, it shouldn't matter what you're wearing. You're supporting local racing, especially the newest small track in this area.
On the West Coast that we know of, right?
We know.
I will say anytime I am at the track, I'm wearing a Blythe Speedway hat.
Yes, you are.
Yeah.
And you're
one,
a supporter.
One color or the other, I'm wearing one.
Absolutely.
And I got a few choice words for the ones that don't like it. But hey, you know what?
You know what? Hey, we
it's
all
a family show. Family
right.
show.
That's the beauty of America. We have choices,
that's
you know,
right.
and we hope that at some point you choose to come race down at Blythe Speedway from any local area track. So check it out and have some fun. Dylan, been a big supporter of ours since day one. He's had a lot of fun, and we appreciate that for coming down and spreading the word. You
yeah,
know?
Y'all do a great job.
Well, you know, spreading the love of the track is part of it, you know, and,
yep.
and that if we're at LVMS, you know, I tell people what my likes and dislikes about LVMS, you know, the bullring, you know, that's...
You hurt people's feelings.
Well, that's okay. We're not allowed to hurt people's feelings.
That's right.
It's
2023.
Let's all just talk about it. But, no, it's all good.
And speaking of Blythe Speedway, and I know we're going to have the
yeah,
show after
will.
This
yeah,
one.
But this show is about
racing.
Local tracks. We'll
right
track. Talk about Havasu or anybody else. Or
they need to go down and just experience their self.
Yeah,
exactly. Don't listen to someone else. Come down and experience it.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't listen to what Joe Smoe seen 10 years ago.
That's right.
It's a
exactly.
different place
That's
now.
Right.
Well, exactly. You know, come on down. Give it a shot, you know, and make your own experience about it. And, you know, that's all we ask, you know, is we do appreciate you coming to the track and looking at it for yourself, taking it, you know, racing on it for yourself. Bring your teammates and all that. So we really do appreciate that and everyone that does that.
And
if you don't like it, hey, we're not saying you're going to like it. We hope you like it because we do everything we can to put ourselves out there so you will like it.
And I've not
seen
a single person leave there without not smiling. Like, there might have been one.
Right.
But.
No, exactly. Well, no, you know, sometimes it happens.
I know one.
And that's, you know, anywhere you can't make everyone happy.
No matter where you go.
But they keep coming back if they don't have a smile because, for a reason, you know?
Right.
And we do appreciate that part of it also. And we do put ourselves out there. And we know you guys do too. So don't think your hard work coming to our track is going to, you know, go unnoticed.
Right. And
you guys put a lot of work in your race cars, and we know that.
And I've told Mike 100 times before, we're racers too. We know what it takes to get to a racetrack. It's
absolutely
not like as you just said, it don't go unseen.
Right.
I mean, we know what it takes to get to a
absolutely
racetrack.
You know,
we know when there's a problem in the pits that needs to be addressed and or fixed. We know that.
Now give us time to work it out, you know.
Right. It's not an instant thing.
Sometimes things can't, you know, some things can be turned on and off like a light switch. Some things take some time that need to be dimmed in or out.
Oh, yeah.
So give us some time to work on different things, and you know.
And the pits have lights too.
Bright lights.
Yes, we do. But yeah, and you know, again, that's part of it. You know, if you have a team memorabilia, anything like that, we do have on track autographs session every race. You have t-shirts and stuff. This next one, we got, you know, we're building up to a lot of great things coming up in the next race.
We're
going to
take our t-shirt cannon
this time. The guy who forgot the CO2 bottle last time will probably bring him this time, which is me by the way. And, you know, we'll be more than happy to help promote your team, your sponsors. We know your sponsors put a lot in you guys to get your race cars out at the track, and we will promote your race team and your sponsors as well. Just got to let us know.
If you got one shirt, five shirts, ten, it don't matter.
Or you want to announce it. We'll announce some of that stuff up in the booth. You just got to let us know. We can't, you know, we predict everyone's sponsors, talk about without you guys telling us who is important to you. So we do appreciate that. We do appreciate your sponsors, and we know what they go through and what you go through to get them involved with your race team. So.
And maybe we'll direct them to lovely Lauren Ray to write it down and then get it.
That was the voice of Justin questioning lovely.
That's right.
By the way, just so you know.
She's watching.
Put you in the hot seat.
That's why I said it.
She's watching.
Absolutely. You know, and you know, there's a lot of things. Of course, we'll talk about more on the Blythe show also, but there's a lot of gears that make the track happen, you know, and Lauren's one of them. She's does a wonderful job up in the tower.
We got a few major gears that we appreciate.
So thank you.
Even Lauren just said lovely.
So, and again, Dylan, thank you again. You know, you are, you know, guys like you that are supporting it and having a good time. You know, it does radiate. It gets the next guy coming and the next guy, and it has. You've encouraged another team to come out, and we've got a couple more. We've actually know of a couple extra mini stocks that are going to be out there and things like that. So we're looking forward to the build up as it happens. And after
it's exciting. At each race, we get a couple more cars in each class.
Absolutely,
so.
It makes us have to be better racers ourselves when we're on that track.
Yeah.
It makes us have to be better promoters on our end too.
And legend cars coming out there, the fans out there love them because that's something they
exactly. Thanks to all the legend cars that have been out there. We know we'll probably have more in the future, and it's really
cool.
That
starts with Kevin Trell because. That is U.S. Legend Cars.
It starts with the racers. You know, of course, if you have any legend car questions or anything, please direct them to the local Legend Cars people, the INEX people, which is Kevin Terrell. If you don't know how to get a hold of them, let us know. But most of you do. But, legends are cool to have on the track. And, again, it's a driver's track. It's challenging, and we hope you take on the challenge. You know, it's like,
you know, I don't know the exact words that were used, but it was something to the effect of you got to be uncomfortable being uncomfortable racing that track.
Right. You know, and I've heard it, you know, and we're not, you know, this is just from people that raced that track over the years have said if it wasn't for that track, they wouldn't be the drivers they are. Because,
today, yes.
Yeah, exactly, because the things they've learned on that track, it's a very unconventional
yeah.
track. So without explaining it, I'll come out and check it out and see for yourself what
you
mean by
it's
that.
Different.
It will challenge
you. It will humble you.
Yeah, and let me tell you, there's not a person that drives it any harder than Dylan Rankin here in his factory stock. So you drive the hell out of that track, and it shows, you
yeah.
know, and the fans know it and love it, and it gives the other guys, you know, a competition level to reach for,
yeah.
and that's you. So I
so
appreciate that.
The video that I posted earlier, I don't remember what his YouTube name is, but...
7-0-X.
Yeah.
And
it's all
going quickie.
He posted about the Blythe Speedway, and he posted the street stock race.
Oh, okay.
And when you seen Don Zoll split the middle,
oh, yeah.
and you heard the crowd go crazy.
Yes.
And I
absolutely.
Was like, that's what I like seeing, because Don drives the hell out of that car out there.
You know, mm-hmm. all the drivers
yeah.
do, and you know, and it
but,
shows. And when they're on that track, that level of competition is up there, and the drivers that race on that track are all experienced out there. Even if they're new, they have a level of experience that they don't show anywhere else. Yeah, when he slipped that, the crowd went wild.
You heard him in the
absolutely.
Video often. And I seen Gary stand, like you see the video, and you see Gary standing in the corner watching. So.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. In the video?
almost all the races are on there, too. I think there's one that's not on there, but they have the heat races from that day.
Okay.
Why this guy didn't tag the blankspeedway.com on Facebook page? What's going on?
It's two, but from what I know, it's two brothers, and they use, like, old-school digital cameras
okay.
and record it.
Well,
they don't use an actual, like, camcorder.
Well, that's cool. We appreciate
like
that. We'll see if we can
yeah.
find the link for that.
It's
and
awesome.
We'll put it out there.
Yeah.
We'll have to
yeah.
tag
yeah.
you today on Facebook.
Okay.
Right.
We appreciate that. It really helps out, and we like that kind of stuff, and we know the community there loves that the track is opened and they have racers coming and they have a good time. And especially after this summer break, it's going to be a great second half of the season for all of us. And we hope to see you there as a racer. We hope to see you there as a fan. It's just going to be some fun stuff, right?
Lots of
I know
fun
it's
going to
be some fun stuff.
Looking forward to it.
Good food. You know, we're going to have street tacos. We talked Gary's putting his foot down and saying, we're having them the rest of the year. So guess what? We're having street tacos the rest of the year.
Yeah.
And make sure you go to Gary's Grill when you're there.
I don't know if
that
was
exactly that way, but okay.
But
that's okay. But it sounds good.
Yeah, it sounded good.
So along with all the other cool stuff we have there, the burgers, and they're not cheap stuff there. We all put in top quality stuff for you guys. Everything there is really good. Check it out. So, anyway, getting back to local stuff here, and that's local, but a little out of Tucson
no
had
comment.
A race, you know, also this past weekend. Of course, I didn't keep up with any of that, but they did have a race also at Tucson. And, you know, they always have good races at Tucson. If you haven't been to Tucson, have you guys been to Tucson?
I have not.
No?
I know David once. David Levitt.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Okay.
Hold on. I got to get to my book and put that on my to-do list.
Yeah. You have time on that to-do list, eh?
It's clear at the wall.
It's a different track there.
Three columns.
Yeah. It's to me, it's like a small super speedway, because they like a small Talladega, because I've seen them, and I'm not even exaggerating, 8 wide on that damn track. You know, it's some scary racing.
That sounds like a Stan Mose track.
Exactly.
Well, it sounds like the bowling on Saturday night.
But that's some cool racing there. You know, again, you know, they're struggling down there. Over time, things have happened, you know, and racers have gone away from that track for their own reasons. And we hate to see that. We don't want to see that at our track. So if you have anything you want to tell us, you know, let us know. We're readily available.
Our phone numbers are everywhere.
Yep, at any time. So, thank you. Anyways, we'll roll on.
Did you go to the races this weekend?
No.
He wasn't allowed.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
He wasn't
allowed.
I'm sorry.
Allowed.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I was allowed.
You are allowed.
It was way too hot. And it was, I ain't going
to
go sweat my butt off. I'm not racing.
And you get to watch some race monitor.
Yeah, that's how I watched it.
Yeah. So that's cool. I do that sometimes.
It was so hot.
It was, you know what? It was an interesting night of racing. You know.
Yeah, I did miss out.
It was must see TV.
You were there for the whole. You were there for the whole event.
I was there.
The events. Yeah.
I will say one thing. I'm glad that everybody that the red flags were for walked away, and they're better. They're good. Because almost
right?
Every race had at least one pretty gnarly wreck, and I'm glad to see everybody got up and walked away.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll start with the Bandoleros. I missed that carnage, but I guess there was some Bandolero from the kids on up. So we'll start with the kids. Did you watch that race and was able to see it from your angle? Because you were at the
stockyard.
The stockyards. So isn't that where kind of some of the stuff happened?
Well, turn one, the 9 car went up into the entrance of the track.
Oh, okay.
Went up airborne in the tire.
Oh, wow. Haven't seen that in a while.
Wow.
That was in the Bando, and then...
So what did it look like it happened? It looked like
just racing,
they're
banging doors.
So they got knocked into the tire.
And he went up the track and hit the wall, and then kind of rode the wall for a second into the tires, and I was like, uh-oh.
Wow.
So
how many were involved in that?
One. It was... I don't know who he bounced off of, but it was only the 9 car went up there, and that car was pretty wrecked. I'm not positive. I believe that's Brad Lynch's car. I believe that's
it was destroyed. Yes, he said it was totaled or something like that. I don't know. I was at the track when he said that, so I don't know if he actually looked at it.
And then I just figured out the names. The Trimmer, James Trimmer and Layla Trimmer, got into a spun with each other.
Oh wow!
And one of the other cars, which was Amelia Soul, came through and T-boned the one, and it was a pretty violent hit. And that was right in the middle of 3 and 4.
And
like,
was that during the same carnage as
that was?
Okay.
That was 4 laps after the first red flag.
Oh, so it was the second.
And I was happy to see all 3 of the kids got out of those cars because you seen Amelia when she got out of the car, she's holding her head crying. So it definitely rung her bell.
Now I believe she said her ankle was swollen up after, but I don't think it was broken or anything.
All 3 walked to the ambulance. I know that, and all 3 kids got checked out because. I mean, I was standing in the back, and I heard it, and I was at the back of the vehicle we were sitting by, and I heard the boom, and I seen the tire go flying in the air, and I was like, whoa.
You know, and you got to have some emotions for that, because those are little kids in those cars, you know. But, you know, they do take the risk on racing, and the parents take that risk on of putting them in that position of racing, but... You still don't want to ever see anything happen to these.
My daughter's sitting right there, and she's 8 years old, and she wants a Bando so bad.
Did that change her mind at all?
And no. Okay. And watching that didn't change her one bit.
Well, we got to remember, we're fearless at that age, right?
Yeah. But Ashton Leonard won. But 4th place went to a kid named Wyatt Lane.
Oh,
there
you go.
And Mike Lane. We raced with Mike Lane back in the Pahrump days. I had
the granddaughter or grandchild.
I had a couple good battles with Mike.
So it's cool to see them carrying on the family racing tradition with the kids. So that's really cool to see. Maybe we'll see Mike Lane back out in something, huh?
Well, maybe.
He did say hi to Mike and Gary for me. I
appreciate that. That's really cool.
And so then we moved on to the factory stocks. Which that was lap 1, turn 1 also.
Really? So everybody
wasn't quite turn 1.
It was the green flag. I think it happened at the stripe.
Yes.
This is something that I'm going to ruffle some feathers apparently. If you're a promoter and you see under before the green flag even drops, you see 2 cars sitting here just door slamming each other, I'm like, why are you not going to warn them? And I had a race fever. And I was listening, and I was like, not one word was said. I'm like, you're door slamming each other down the front stretch, down the back stretch, locking them, brake checking each other.
And this is before,
on the track.
Oh, wow. Okay.
They're already door banging each other.
Right. Yeah, that's a tough call.
You gotta at least say, hey, guys, calm down. Like, we have 30 laps.
Right. You know, that's where maybe you...
25.
Wave that warning flag, and you have the pace car kind of slow down the pace a little, not... do a normal fast pace.
The 00 had front end damage before the race even started, and the bumper was down.
No.
See, people are brake checking each other already. I'm like,
wow.
And like I'm sitting in the stockyard like this is not going to end well. Well, they take the green flag, and the next thing you know, the 17s turned head onto the wall, and they started front row. I'm like, this is how this is going to go. But it was just started the night.
And is this the first race back after a little bit of a break?
They don't have a break this year. They're doing everything before.
How many weeks were they off
before this race?
Maybe two.
That was it.
Right. Eight days from we were in Willow.
That's right. So it wasn't like they were off and everything. It was just it was a new
cars haven't been out all season.
It was a new moon. So that's
something
to do with.
It was a full moon.
And it was just a long night. I just thought.
So that was right off the bat. Guys were anxious. They wanted to win in the first lap.
And then, like under that red flag, two cars are sitting on the back stretch, and there's some hand gestures going on that were not very
sign
polite.
Language,
there was some sign language. I'm like,
were you involved in that?
No, I was not.
Okay, good. This is a family show.
Yeah, stayed away from that.
So then, when they went back green. Again, they're on the back stretch, and I look over to the people next to me because they're standing at the gate ready for this to happen. And I was like, they're going to wreck each other again. And under caution, you'll see cars going sideways, so they're just slamming into each other. I'm like,
there's no call for that.
You want to complain about car count, and you want to say, oh, well, car count matters, and that's why we're not doing certain things. You're wrecking cars by letting them drive like this.
Yeah.
At least warn somebody. Like, say, hey, look, we're not going to tolerate that bull crap.
That's what that black flag is for.
Yeah.
To warn them.
Yeah.
Never seen
a black flag at that track.
You haven't?
Never. I've never seen anyone wave it, and not since I've been racing anyways.
There was a number 19S modified that got that black flag quite often.
Well, let me just tell you this. I've had two black flags in the four races I've raced. One at the Bullring and one in Perrone. But you can only take so much. I'm a patient guy. I understand. But you can only take so much.
So
that's how it happens with most people.
Yeah. Stephen Irvine said the Vegas heat has melted the black flag.
I
kind of said earlier to Stephen when we were talking, I was like, you have a lap car going a lap down, already a lap down to the leader, and they're blocking other cars lapping them and running them all the way up to the wall, then all the way down to the bottom. I'm like, that can't happen. Like, this is where they need to step in and go, hey, guys, we need to stop this crap, or we're going to lose all of our cars.
I think a big spot where it started is they allowed spotters, and you basically have someone else driving your car for you.
You would think the spotters would help the situation because you should have somebody in the spotter stand officiating from the tracks telling them, guys, hey, if you don't stop this, you will leave the track.
Right, but then it depends on the type of communication they get from their spotter, too.
It doesn't matter if they're going to continue to do
it. Communication from the tower to their spotter.
And they do require the driver to have the receiver now, so if they're saying something, the driver is the one that hears it. So they don't have the excuse of saying it's a spotter, but what I mean is someone telling someone to get down, that sort of thing.
I've been part of that before where the spotter was doing the driving basically, where somebody says, oh, screw that guy, take him out and stuff. I've been part of that before where I've heard somebody trying, on a car, it was actually a truck I was spotting for, where two spotters now was saying, man, take this guy out. You can do this. That way you can, whatever. And I'm like, whoa, hey.
Yeah.
I almost got in a fight in the spotter stand myself. So I understand. And what you're saying. But obviously that's where an officiating person should be controlling that, especially if there's things happening before the race starts or even during the race, obviously. But I can see that because you're throwing in a new element of a heated argument between two people into it, and instead of just two drivers on the track, two spotters.
Four
people. So I can see that. But the spotters, are supposed to be there as an extra set of eyes, especially when there's a lot happening with you have a large car count or something like that to be that extra set of eyes. And it is nice to have that. And it helps them learn when they do move up into other divisions, on how to operate with a spotter. But good point. Absolutely.
Like,
I can see that.
Because like, it being an entry-level class, like at Havasu when I first started racing, I asked, I forget the guy's name, but I asked him how come they don't allow spotters, and he said it's to teach you how to drive your car. And so, like,
I never had a spotter in all the years of racing.
Yeah.
And, like, having someone that might never have driven before and it being the first time out there, if you have someone telling you, like, trying to tell you exactly what to do instead of you feeling it and trying to figure it out for yourself, it really doesn't ever end well.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I know you've done it. I've done it. We've started racing without spotters yourself also. So it puts it all into your hands and your mirrors, and
you learn to hear when there's a car coming up on you.
Yeah.
And you
I hated that when we started coming to the bull ring and I had to use a receiver and put earbuds in. I was like, man, I can't hear the cars the same. It's not the same.
Yeah, no, that's true.
But I suppose it does help my hearing though.
There's a lot of posts about they don't listen to the tower anyway.
Oh,
so
really?
Okay. Maybe they need to get a hold of Cindy Clark and get some new earbuds for their.
Oh, I can promise you. Half those guys are like, yeah, I got a race seat, and they turn it off because they, you can see, like I knew back in the day when I was racing, I would hear him say, hey, look, 65, you're going up two positions. Hey, 65, you're going up two positions, and they're not moving.
Right.
And they're like, okay, you have one more chance to move, or you don't get to go, and or drop back two positions, or.
Well, that's when they don't move, and at the end of the race, hey, did you hear me on race monitor? And they say, no, okay, you got two positions docked because you were told or run your race.
And they used to kind of, if it was time, allowed, where the corner driver,
they'd stop them.
You know, they'd and it doesn't take but a minute to stop them. It's okay, switch spots or whatever.
Their spotters are broken.
And that's true, and that's some
coming from Kevin.
That's from Kevin Brown.
That's something to get used to, and I think it's a good idea to have that extra set of eyes. But also, Danny does a great job out there at the boring on the receiver, keeping the guys in line and all that. And it's obviously up to the
ones that listen.
Yeah, exactly. And if they're not listening, then they should
be
docked. Dealt with.
But you, like I say, I've always said it, you dock one of them drivers two positions, it spreads like wildfire through them pits, and they think twice about not running.
Yeah, they'll be pissed, but guess what? They'll listen.
That's right. They'll have it on next time.
Yeah,
as you say, they shut it off. But.
I'm like, that's what I was saying earlier. I was like, with the wrecking, warn them.
Yeah.
Give them like, hey, this is the last
thing
I'm telling you.
See, and that's a prime example of where a spotter situation would have worked. Okay, you tell your guy, if it continues, you either will go to the back or you'll be ejected from the track.
Right, you will come off the track. Yep.
But then it's also knowing, like, who's spotting for who, too. Like, it's not like people are out there wearing shirts that match their car and stuff.
Well,
that's
where they should have.
Well, how they get it and we'll probably do this in the future in the late model truck series, which used to be the ASA truck series back in the day. Your spotter had to wear they handed them out. It was something that was, permanent. If you didn't have one, they make sure they wrote one for you. You'd have your car number on a spotter badge, which you wore in the back, not in the front, and they would line them up the highest number to the lowest number. And then that way the guy can tap you on the back. They know the highest number is on one side and the lowest number is on the other, and they knew where to go right away to say, hey, your guy needs to do this, your guy needs to do that, and so on. And that's how it should be done. That's how it was done in the past.
Sounds like a great idea, but it also sounds like a lot of work.
It is a lot of work. It is a lot of work. Racing is a lot of work.
Yeah.
Racing is a lot of work.
It definitely is.
But then, again, as he says, once you know that's what you got to do, then it's just like clockwork when you get up into the tower or up into the stand, right? But in Vegas, they let them spot from everywhere around, including the quarter-mile track.
That
you can spot from over there.
Right. Spotter should be in the spotter area, wherever it is. Even if it's from the super speed line, you have spot from over there.
That's right.
At least you're all together.
Some do. No, if they're going to have it above the grandstands, then have it above the grandstands. I've always spotted from the left side.
The left pit stand.
Yes.
Right.
That's always been for many years. Yes.
Right.
If they want to move it, then move it, but move them all.
Yeah.
Don't let some up there.
Up
don't
on
let
the
some
hill,
over here.
Like spotting on the front stretch, like in the main grandstands, because that's the highest point and you can see everything.
Right, but
yeah.
in the stands
no, just,
where it's always
right.
been,
yeah.
where it's been for many, many years,
right.
you can see the same thing. Yeah.
Right.
You know, you
yeah.
can see both straightaways, you
like
can see both turns, all four
like the
turns.
Problem, like, but that's a good spot because you're still in the pits. The problem with your area is, and I've been in that position where it's a two-man team, you got yourself and
mm-hmm.
your spotter. Your spotter
yeah.
is also your tire changer
yeah.
and
yeah.
your mechanic and all that. So
see,
he can't run down there and
yeah.
do something from that area. But, yes, it is a better
yeah.
view.
For just sure. like Owendale.
You
yeah.
guys will have Morgan Shepherd on him at that point.
Right.
About change your own tire.
Right.
I did that once.
Yeah, so, you know, we're like Gary's talking about, at least, yeah, it's your age will show, but you got to run down from that spot to your pit area and do that work.
And by that time, you're already 10 laps down.
But that's
you're
okay.
Good.
You still can get out there and get your points or whatever, because you never know. Two other cars might not
yeah.
make it, you know, at the end of the race or something, so you might gain two positions or whatever, you know.
But my point is... make all the spotters in
one
place.
Spot.
Don't, you know, just because your buddy wants to
and
spot
maybe,
from the
know,
tower.
Maybe they do say that, but, and I'm not saying they don't enforce it or if they do that or not, but yes, if they're not in one spot, that's a problem. And if you're not enforcing, hey, yeah, we do say they have to be in one spot and you're not enforcing it, then that's your problem.
Right.
You know. But, yeah, you know, I see both sides of the spotter situation. And, you know, if it was a bad thing, I think we wouldn't see spotters in all levels of higher levels of racing. So I think it should be a good thing. And guys need to learn, you know, how to work with spotters,
yeah.
you know, but anyway, so
just because they say something, you don't mean you got to listen.
Yeah, well, exactly. You know, exactly. Ultimately the driver has a steering wheel and the gas pedal in his,
yep.
now,
listen,
in his hand.
I've spotted for a few people and a couple of those people just don't listen.
Good, or bad,
right?
One. Good or bad, right? Good or bad. Well, you know, and then again, that does put it in the driver's hand to either let him decide, whoever that is, to race that truck or that car himself. You know, you're just a suggestion.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm seeing this. This would probably help you.
Dylan, how many times have I said to you, just because I'm not answering don't mean I ain't listening?
I see what the truck does.
What's that? This is both of you have actually spotted for Gary.
All three of you have.
Yeah, and well, yeah.
Well,
he
was
well,
turned to you. So we're
yeah,
good.
Yeah, my spotting style is different. It doesn't fit the bill.
You're
but that's okay.
Who is yelling at who in the pits?
If you back your corner up a little bit, you might be able to catch her.
Well, that's just it.
And
like,
laps later.
And I've watched Gary drive, and if I saw something, I would have said something, but he knows how to drive. So I'm not going to tell him, unless I did see something like out of whack, to say, hey, you should
right.
do this or that.
But
I was there to say, yes, there's somebody on the inside or outside, and if there wasn't, I didn't say nothing. I wasn't there to try to drive for him or coach for him.
Again, coming from a racer, we all get in our heads and we're like, okay, we're trying to catch this person,
right.
but you're not seeing it's hurting you. And you're in tunnel vision of like
yeah.
driving.
Right. You're driving in too deep or something because you are trying to catch somebody.
But then,
you see
somebody else do something. And you're like, hey, try
that
this.
Works, right.
Because they're catching you. So like,
yeah.
And that's kind of what that was with Gary.
Right.
And
right.
I'm the first one to say when I got my sight set on that next truck,
You get so worried sometimes about racing that car in front of you instead of racing your
yeah.
own race and, you know,
true.
Hitting your marks, you're thinking, I need to catch that person.
Right. No, absolutely. You know, and that's just it. Everybody will spot differently.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Gary does a good job of, like, I guess, letting you know, hey, this is how I like, you know, to hear you talk to me, you know, and this is how it, you know, and so on. So that's good. You got spot for him, and he liked how you spotted for him.
Yeah.
I mean, that
he wouldn't have had me
side,
come
by
back
the way.
If he
yeah.
didn't. So.
Yeah, he did. He said some good things about that.
I'm just
yeah.
a sucker that agreed to go to
work. Yeah,
pretty much.
We love
whichever way you want to look at it.
We're all suckers here for Rick,
right.
period. So we're in the same shoes that you are.
By the way,
you're
going to Orangeville?
I think so.
Right.
I've never been to Orange, so I'm excited
really?
For that one.
Me neither. I know, and I keep forgetting you've never You've been there?
I've driven by it.
But never been there?
Never been there.
This is going to be a
You don't ever drive by a racetrack without stopping there.
When you're going to Sonoma,
you never
That's a different story, I guess. You're on to another race.
Yeah, headed somewhere else.
You get a pass for that.
Look at the situation Mike and I are down in Blythe.
They drove by
the racetrack. Look what happened.
I know, exactly.
What's funny is I was looking on Google Maps one day, and I saw that track. I was like, oh, that'd be cool to have, just be able to go down there and just race my car around by myself and just have
fun. Wow.
You think about your own personal
Hell yeah. Have been tune, man.
Hey, you're welcome anytime. Right? Just let us know.
Gary's down there at least 4 or 7 days.
And I'm sure when I was looking at it, you guys probably already were working on the deal with it.
You know what? See how that worked out? You still have your own personal race to go race.
I kind of manifested it.
Yeah, you did, and we're happy to be part of that. So thank you.
So back to you, don't ever go by a racetrack without stopping.
Exactly.
I wish you could have gotten Parham, but...
Well, that was, you know...
It's a lot closer.
It is. It is. And it's sad to see it just...
It's for racing. You should drive to New York for racing.
It's only a couple extra hours.
I got family in New York. I don't want to go to New York.
Right?
Okay, Florida.
I got family going there, too.
Florida does have a statewide Crown Vic series.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's a legit... It's basically a stock Crown Vic, and you take it to all these other... short tracks around Florida, and you get to race for points. It's a pretty cool deal.
Yeah, you know, and that's kind of.
If I had a computer, I'd Google it.
And they have a road course series, Crown Vic road course series, that's out here on the West Coast.
Really?
Goes to all sorts of different road courses.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Yep.
That's pretty cool. Interesting. You know, and the Crown Vics are one of the ones that are available in the junkyards and things now, of course,
yeah,
a lot of old police cars and things like that. So it's cool to still see something that's, to me, seems like a newer race car, but obviously nowadays
it's old.
Yeah, it's old, but it's crazy to think that that's...
It's new compared to the 73
Monte Carlo. Newest car I've ever seen at the Bullring.
Yep.
Mine.
Right.
Yeah.
That's true. You know,
there was a couple one out there, but...
Not very good.
It didn't race out there.
It should have been in the damn crusher.
It ain't go to the crusher. But
it kept spitting water at me. I was over that thing.
But yeah, that's cool to see.
That's all he's got squirted from. Yeah.
He tried to burn Gary. So moving on. I mean, the factory stock race was interesting. Of course, the first lap deal again. But they did end up finishing at some point. So
now, the late model race. The first race was good. It was...
So they had two...
Yeah.
Twin, but they had two races that night. Okay.
The first day main for them, Justin Johnson ran a hell of a race. Him and Kyle put on a good show. Jeff Peterson finished third. In that race, Johnny Spalatro, one of our guys that we like, he ended up getting pretty tore up.
Oh, that sucks.
The zero, Brent Shanmantle, he spun down the backstretch, and Johnny was already full throttle coming out of the corner, and... There was just, at that point, the zero spun and then kind of like went dead sideways, and Johnny locked up the brakes and slid into him and tore up Johnny's car pretty bad.
Oh,
so
that sucks
for him. But
and that was in the first main?
Yeah, that was the
first
main.
Wow, I didn't realize there was an incident in the first main. No kidding.
That was right dead center in the middle of the backstretch. Now, our boy Mark Allison came out there and got a top 10. That was the first time I've seen him out there in a while now.
Which is amazing, because if you don't know, his car is dollar-wise, is no match for some of those race cars out there, the prolate models.
Like I talked to you guys about, just watching him and just it lap after lap, he was catching some of these guys that are just, the car difference is
right. And
insane,
you can see him
adjusting.
He's getting it in the corner. You can see, and he made that pass like you were talking about on that.
With Ricky.
Yep.
He, in the corner.
You could tell he was setting it up, and he ducked in there one time, didn't make it, but he knew what to do that next lap around.
And again, we've all seen him race with the trucks. You guys have raced with him in the trucks 100 times, and just he's on a level of his own where – he gets in his zone and he hits his marks almost every time.
Oh,
so
yeah. You know, and I
that's
feel,
just Mark, though.
I feel privileged to be able to race with him because I've watched him race in the past, and his experience level, like you said, is just insane. He's raced against some top level racers in the dirt and in the asphalt. So it's fun for us in late model truck series to be able to race with a guy like that. And it's fun to watch him race, period. So.
Now, the second main event, which you were here for, you made it through this one.
Yep.
First lap, again, green flag drop, and all hell broke loose. The 44 of Dave Campoverde went up on the top, up on the side of somebody and went rolling over. And that was a first for me. I had not seen a late model flip.
Yeah.
You guys had said it happened before, but again, it was just, but this one wasn't rough driving. This one wasn't, it was,
you know, it looked like somebody could get on it outside
pole. TJ Roberts, the 24, you've seen, he might have got on it and got a little wheel spin, lifted,
okay,
and kind of jiggled. Because he went completely sideways, and then
okay,
everybody just piled up behind him.
Right.
I was really surprised more cars didn't get tore up
in
that.
That is true.
And
yeah,
and like, and that's why they're the top division out there, because everybody avoided that, and it started right at the start finish line with the leader.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like it was mid pack back.
Right.
It was the leader in second place got together, and I seen the front of the 78 was a little tore up, but. That was probably just from bumping the car in front of him. Everybody
yeah,
locked up the brakes, but that was a good race. And Jaron Giannini won. And watching Justin Johnson try to come through the field, because he started in the back because he won the first one. He just, that's another one. Justin Johnson just, he can drive anything.
Exactly. That guy can just, even Giannini, mm-hmm, all the guys, but Justin Johnson for sure. You can put him in anything and he can figure it out. He can make it go fast.
And Mark Allison finished seventh in that one.
Yeah, that's amazing. Again, that's something else. And that was
out of 14.
That,
out of 14 cars.
So that's pretty damn good. Pretty damn good.
The junior late models, Ashton Leonard won that. That was his second feature because he won the Bando, and then he jumped in the junior late and won that one too. That kid's come a long way.
Let me see the names on that. I think that number 12, Brody Manning.
Yeah.
That kid, isn't that the one we got the shirt from up in?
All American.
Yep, All American. Yeah. So we were fans of Brody Manning. We got some T-shirts from him when we were up there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's cool to see him here at Vegas racing, especially in the junior late model, because he was in a Legends, I believe. There,
yeah, right? I think it was a Legend. Yeah,
yeah.
And he's a young kid.
Young kid.
He's young.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So cool. I'm glad to see him here. I don't know how he, you know.
He finished third.
Third, okay.
And then the skid plates, which are always a fun class to watch, they were all over the place.
How many did they have? Quite a few.
16.
Wow. Can you believe that?
16.
That?
And
that's amazing.
Ben Williams won, and they were talking to him because every time they had to start on the backstretch. And then Greg Lee, who he's actually a security guard out the bull ring, and I worked with him back in the day, he just started jumping in this car. And every week he's finishing top three now.
No way.
So,
oh, wow.
The guy can
win. Practice.
Okay.
And
okay,
at one point there was a spin on the front stretch, and Ben Williams and Greg Lee were both in it, tore up the cars, both cars pretty bad, and they still went on to win, but they were spinning left and right out there.
It was a spin every lap, in every corner, and every straightaway.
So it was like when they first started.
Yeah, exactly.
It made it fun.
Right,
it made
fun
it
to
fun
watch.
Because watching the leaders. Because
you didn't know who the
nabby
leader was if you weren't paying attention at that point. Yeah.
Kevin Charles said we had races.
That's what made it fun.
I've seen pictures of Kevin standing around this weekend. So.
Well, Kevin had his hands full with those his sanctioning INEX people.
Well, let's jump into that, because the Legend cars, we have no results for the Legend cars.
Oh, wow.
On Race Monitor. I know the Rice brothers finished 1-2. They put on an absolute hell of a show.
That was a hell of a show, and the, I don't know which one, which, the number four at the very...
So, apparently, Friday night, whoever won Saturday night finished second to his brother.
Okay.
Again, I wasn't there Friday night, so I didn't get to see that, but... I seen a post on Facebook that they swapped position from Friday to Saturday,
okay,
and apparently it was a good show both nights.
Yeah,
they made a deal.
Yeah, they did. We're gonna take home the bacon. One more, both of us will get it.
I mean, that's a hell of a run.
Well, and then, like I said, the number four, the nine was leading. I would say almost every lap it would seem of that race, and the number four.
So Tyler was the nine. Tanner was the four,
and Tanner got him on the. It was that checker flag.
Makes for an easier drive home for sure.
Yeah, exactly, right.
And they didn't use a bumper. It was a clean.
It was clean.
And they raced each other. Like me and my brother have been wrecking each other for the lead.
Well,
we
I know you and your brother.
So we put a race
Are they the ones that have been racing in the Arca series
yeah.
too?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Same.
And one of them kids won the Arca.
Yeah. At
yeah.
Phoenix.
No
yeah.
way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Phoenix race.
Tanner, I think the older one, I think won that.
That's really cool to watch some guys still. You know, racing local and all that, you know, especially
yeah.
being in the ARCA series, that's something else. No, that's cool.
That sucks. I was trying to look for results.
That's all right. Kevin, true up and tell us.
Thanks, Kevin.
Now, there was a pretty bad wreck, like we talked about earlier, with the Legend cars, and I know.
How many, well, that's okay. How many cars were involved with that? Because somebody went into the wall in turn four wall.
Zeke, who had been down to Blythe, and we had all met down in Blythe, he was out there.
Right.
That was the one I saw. He went backwards into the tire barrier on the exit of the tire. Tyler won.
You're right.
Tyler won.
Tyler won. Okay.
That's Kevin's son. So I seen him going in there, and then the 92 of Alex Rowe went sideways. And that's all I seen happen.
Right.
But then all of a sudden it went red flag, and
yeah,
I was like,
I know Rick Shelberg in the 91
yeah.
ended
19.
Up. 19. Is it 19?
Yeah, the
daughter's
in the 91.
91. That's right, 19. He was 19 back in his mini stock days, but he ended up against the inside wall for a little bit. And, yeah, so everybody at least got out of there, not without injury. Of course, you know, the 19 of Shelberg, he's recovering, you know, he's...
And that was, it, I mean, it's scary when and it kind of
yeah.
eye-opens how dangerous the sport really
is. It really
is.
It really is.
When it didn't look as serious as it was, and,
well,
you know...
And some of those, sometimes when you pancake a wall, that's the worst kind of hit you can get.
I broke a C-clip in the rear end, and the axle left the car. I spun, and I destroyed the front of the car, the back of the car, everything. But I hit that wall sideways,
yep.
dead on, just pancaked it, and that was the worst pain I was in the next day,
because... Right.
You know, when you're hitting the wall in the front, you see it coming, and you're like, okay.
Right. Well, and you belt it in for that
yeah.
front impact, you know, even a rear impact.
I close my eyes. I don't see it coming.
When you do the data, Patrick, you let go of three wheels and, like, cross your arms, right?
And you at least see that front impact come in, or, like, you know you're going to hit with the back. You kind of brace yourself against the seat. But when it's the side hit, it's a different feeling.
Yeah. And you got no support going
yeah.
sideways. You know,
I mean,
you
and
seat,
I had the headrest
yeah.
and everything, and... You know, I still sat there like, uh-oh, that hurt.
This is going to hurt more, yeah. Yeah, the pancake, that's not good. But, yeah, so it sucks to see any race cars get destroyed, you know. But, and, you know, again, it's if it was an easy sport
everyone
that
would do
was,
it.
Was without risk, everyone would be doing it. You know, we're all adrenaline junkies one way or the other, whether we admit it or not. We get in that race car knowing there's a
yep.
risk involved that we could get hurt at any time. And you know, realistically.
And fast.
Yeah, and fast, right. You know, our driving, our decision-making on that track makes a difference, you know. So we got to be in our right minds when we're on the track.
Look at the Chloe Lynch, when Chloe Lynch flipped.
Yeah.
That came out of nowhere. Like,
you
watched
the videos, right.
And I seen the Bruce Silver have his GoPro camera on.
Right.
And you just see how quick she just went on a roof and just rocket ship.
Right, and there's no time to react. Yep. It's one of those. It's an accident. You know?
And I said it before, but I think when she flipped, that car picked up
yep.
speed.
Yeah,
when she
right.
hit the roof,
yeah.
it took off.
Yeah.
And I remember watching that live, and I was like, holy crap. And then watching her just get out of the car and walk away, like, no doubt she was sore.
Right.
But I'm
well,
like,
and that's
damn.
The difference between, you know, a young
yep.
person and some – you are like you said, but he's not 90, by the way. But, you know, and
I never said he's 90. I said he's definitely up there.
I'm just kidding, by the way.
From 30. I'm 32.
That's old.
He's double my age.
You're right. I'm just joking.
No.
But yeah, exactly. You know, it's good. You know, that's what these race cars are built for. We all know that, how important roll cages are
mm-hmm.
to be built properly to help crap like this.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's crazy, man. And, of course, Legends. Things happen even faster because
yeah.
there's a small scale.
Kevin said he's 62, he believes.
Yeah. Yeah, I think.
Kevin's on it tonight, boy.
Too bad he's not sitting here.
Uh-huh. He's
that's
scared.
Okay.
Where's the damn results on race monitor?
He's scared.
Yeah.
He's scared. It's okay.
Yeah.
If you're scared,
yeah.
say you're scared. It's
just
all right.
It's because Justin was bullying him last time he's seen him.
It's a short joke that
yeah.
you keep getting
yeah.
Justin.
One day he's going to get a stool and come to
No.
He's coming after you.
I'm not the one.
Shall we get it right away,
yeah. I'm coming after you.
Sorry, Kevin.
What's up?
That is. Moving on. Moving
now
on.
Now talk about the legends, and now we're going to talk about Superstock.
Okay.
Gavin Ray, who races the legend cars, he jumped in a Superstock
for the first time. Okay.
And he put on a hell of a show with Jason Kaiser, who Jason Kaiser, we all know,
very fast.
He's a top-notch
always up
car in the Superstocks. He can, he's very good at what he does, and Gavin Ray was on his bumper for all 25 laps, and
oh, wow.
And it was definitely a sight to see, because you usually see Jason Kaiser out there, and Kyle Jacks and Sam Jacks usually give him a run for his money, but this time it was Gavin Ray.
That's
his first time in a big car.
I'm pretty sure we'll see a win coming up here if he... Well, we only got one more chance to do it.
This year.
Vegas.
In Vegas.
Yes.
That's
in Vegas, he only has one more chance.
Yep, exactly. He has plenty of chance. Maybe that's why he bought his car. Come race with us down at Blythe. Anyway, we'll move on.
That's for the next one.
You guys did see him in Blythe in the legend car.
Yeah, hey, you never know.
And didn't he jump in a truck?
No. No, but
I think he tested it.
No, not one of ours.
Yes. I think he tested for Kevin.
That's right. I'm sorry. Yes. You are right.
He tested for Kevin one night at the bowling.
Yeah, at the
bowling. Oh, I definitely remember
when Kevin said he had a belly ache.
Right, and we have talked before, so we'll see. Maybe we'll get him in the truck.
He's definitely, after seeing that, I'm like, that's definitely not a legend car, and he was willing the hell out of that thing, so.
Right.
That was good to see.
Kevin said he had a bellyache. So I said, okay, go ahead.
It's bellyache again. Yeah, exactly. Bellyache.
Oh, my stomach hurts. Oh, my pinky toe hurts. I can't step on the bridge.
So, yeah, that's cool to see him in something different, full size. And
doing really well.
That
really well.
Yeah. Right. Absolutely.
That kind of ended a crazy night of racing.
That was crazy night at racing. It was fun. You know, I haven't been out there in a long time, you know, and I wasn't going to go. It was kind of a last minute thing, but that's another story. But it was cool. I'm sorry we didn't see you out there, Dylan, but you're not allowed at the track anymore, are you? Tell us why.
I'm allowed at that.
Okay. I thought you got kicked out. The rumors are going. That's
it's
all.
A different track.
Okay. No. You said you attended.
Me and Dylan just get yelled at a lot.
You guys
there.
Attended like the driver's meeting and stuff like
no,
that?
No, I was.
Oh. This is just kind of in roaming around, talking crap about stuff? No. I'm just asking. I don't know. So what happened? I mean, were there some things said that, you know, we weren't.
Bending the rules that aren't there.
I was.
Let's talk about that.
Okay.
I know we're running out of time, but we'll get a tune. This will help shut us off before you get too far.
Here we go. Hurting feelings. I was made a comment about the Bombers of being different in like 2018, where we had 25 cars.
And there's nothing wrong with saying that.
Nothing wrong with telling the truth.
Right. And the division was huge back then.
I never said one bad word. Okay. I love the Bullring. I grew up in the Bullring.
Yeah.
I still support the Bullring.
Right.
Every time we're not racing a truck in a different track or running the ice, I'm there supporting that track.
Oh, that's cool.
And again, Dylan can be my witness. I did not say one bad word about the Bullring, about the promoter, about nothing. And I got yelled at because I made a comment that in 2018, we had 25 cars show up. And our guys actually respected each other and we weren't wrecking each other. I couldn't tell you many cars that got destroyed that year.
Right.
And I finished sixth in points that year, and it was just like, I'm like, okay. Well.
Yeah. You know,
all he did was agree with me.
Now, I said all the rules are already there.
That's right.
And
that's a valid point.
There's just one thing in common between me and him, and we're not going to go that far. But
well, you know, and it's a valid point because – what the rules say and visually what anybody off the street can see is the difference between what the rules say and just visually seeing cars, you know, that don't match what the rules say. So without looking under a hood or anything like that, you know that the rules aren't being followed.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's a valid comment, but you actually race in that division when you did race at the track. So
yeah, I mean, I'm racing the next one.
Well, yeah. And you have more input. If you're allowed back, yes.
You're going to turn me away at the gate.
What'd you guys do?
No, I'm just kidding.
I hear it now.
He's worried now.
I hear it now.
He's here.
TJ? No one's trying to check in. Do we want him?
I will say, to promote the race this weekend, they used a picture of me and Brad.
Yeah.
I mean, it was the factory stocks, me and Brad leading the field.
They do have a spot for you there at that track.
It's all right.
No,
mine was the big
challenge.
Yeah, they didn't know it was random.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like they spun a wheel and your picture came up.
It's like a race car. No, that's cool. You know, and I would think those opinions are valid, you know, when you're a promoter or, you know, even a tech person at that track to hear that, because it's like, well, wait a minute, what do you mean there's a problem? You want to know about it.
Yeah. It's not like it was poorly ran back then. No one can say that. We actually had, again, bombers were bombers, like factory stocks.
I mean, there's always going to be some incidences, but yeah, you know.
I'm not saying all that, Kevin.
Uh-oh.
Kevin Trell said bomber drivers are.
Yes,
cheap.
They are. Majority of them are. I will say it. I race against them. Majority of them are.
I will allow a fellow bomber racer at that track to say, so what's up? What's
the well, there's no reason.
The prima donnas? What are they saying? I don't know.
There's no way that a car is just. I mean, granted, my car's not the fastest car in the world, but going down the backstretch, there's no reason a car should take off on me like it's a super late model.
What's the motor rule? I mean, is it got to be factory?
I'm having a 351 Windsor built with a blower on it. And
motor rule.
So, I mean, guess what?
Is there a written motor rule that says it has to be, you know, that year?
Depends on who you talk to and what rules you look at.
According to some people,
if you go on the LVMS website, the biggest you're allowed is a 350.
Okay.
It says that you're allowed to bore it out a little bit due to, like, the engine wear and that sort of thing.
Now, if my memory serves me right, you're only allowed to board over
30 over.
Yeah,
usually
30 over. But it don't say nothing about stroker kit put back in.
Can you
prove that that's happening?
Can I prove it? No.
Now, I have a feeling when he's going down the straightaway, it's that same guy. That's a different story.
And then a factory stock should never shoot planes out of its exhaust. That should never happen.
That's just fuel and running lean.
That should never happen.
On that carburetor that they found in the junkyard.
Yeah.
I texted a person after the race that was in that race, and I made a comment, and he said, yep. And I was like, all I know is you got blown by on the backstretch like you were sitting still.
Can I ask, when you did race out there, Dylan, did you get pre- and post-race inspections?
No, and they did post on the band thing, that little app that they have to communicate. They said that the last three races – they were going to be tearing down the top five from the factory stock division, but I've yet to hear if they actually tore anything down.
I highly doubt that.
Should we be tearing down a factory stock division for anything?
If they came up to me and asked me to tear mine down, I'll see you later.
Hold on. You shouldn't be telling them you're going to tear it down.
It's an entertainment division. You should automatically just be factory.
Supposedly, it was requested by some of the other competitors that they wanted other cars to be tore down, so they decided the top five, but I don't know if they've actually done it.
Right.
Well, they're going to wait till July 4th, and they're going to tear everything down while the fireworks are going off.
They'll do it before. Tear it down before the race.
Just remember, the bombers are not a division that is entry level. It is for experienced drivers only.
And you know, Mike brought it up earlier in this. If I was a fan in that stand, and I read the rules that they have, I wouldn't build my car. I wouldn't build a new car.
You couldn't. It's like, well, how do you know? What's a build? Anyways, we'll leave it at that. We're out of time. Don't forget to go to blithespeedway.net or go to the Blythe Speedway Facebook page. We're going to see you here in about 7:10. Give us 10 minutes to get prepped for that BS up the track. All about Blythe Speedway. We do appreciate that. Thank you, Dylan, for stirring it up for us. We hope you're allowed back in Vegas July 3rd. The best race of Vegas, July 3rd. You got to make sure you're here.
Thank you
for watching.
Make sure you're there. It's the best night of racing out of Stadium, I believe. So, see you there. We're not going to be here for 2 weeks. Yes, 2 weeks. So give us 2 weeks off. Things are happening. And then after that, we'll be back. We'll have a post.
2 weeks to pull down.
Yeah. Yes. All right. Appreciate it. Thanks.
And Kevin Terrell, I like you. So if nobody else knows, I do. Kevin
likes you.
All right.
We've got to check.
We've got to
run down. We'll run down. I appreciate it.